Let's now turn to look at the fortunes of another neighborhood. This one across the pond in East London. The Olympic flame went dark last night. The past 2 weeks of the summer games seemed to win over any and all skeptics, including even some skeptical Brits. London's 2012 chair, former Olympian Lord Sebastian Coe, said recently in a Time magazine video that there were initially serious doubts that the Olympics could revitalize the long-depressed, ethnically mixed neighborhoods of East London where they took place.
It's standing with the IOC on a pretty desolate, contaminated, poisoned, underdeveloped, economically challenged 600 acres of East London, and trying to explain that actually within 7 years we would have 3,000 homes, a school, a hospital, world-class venues, was probably stretching the imagination to about its break point.
London's organizing committee had always argued that the Games would bring positive changes and also inspiration for British young people. So we wanted to find out how the youth of East London, the neighborhood you just heard about, felt about this. We've called on two people who helped carry the Olympic torch ahead of the Games, and they are Rumi Begum. She's a 21-year-old student who runs a sports club for youth in East London. Hello there, Rumi.
Hi.
And Amber Charles. She's a 22-year-old student and basketball player from a different East London neighborhood. She was also a member of the youth delegation who helped to win over the Olympic bid for London 7 years ago. Hello there, Amber.
Hi.
Well, we're so happy that both of you could be with us. Amber, let me start with you. You just heard Sebastian Coe's description of East London, you know, poison neighborhoods, basically, he was saying, economically challenged. What about that? What's the reality today? Did things turn around?
I think the area's got a lot more pumped into it. I mean, we have a lot more resources now, like, to help out with stuff. I wouldn't go as far as say we were a poison neighbourhood, but, yeah, there was challenges faced, obviously, money-wise. So the Olympics so far has put a lot more into it, so that's great.
Well, give me a specific. What do you see now you didn't see 8 years ago?
There's a lot more. The buildings have been improved on, and buildings before that were maybe desolate, not being used, have now been like made to look like brand new and are now being used. And there's a lot more sporting facilities being popped up. Even the ones that are there have been refurbished and they're new ones. So it's all around good experience, really.
Rumi, what were you seeing? You work with young people in your program. Was there excitement or was there any sense of resentment that the development was coming in where it hadn't been before?
I think the early changes and where the Olympics have affected most is probably the motivation in the children and in the community itself. And from the, you know, that's a start, I guess.
Let's talk about getting into the events. I mean, what did the young people have to say? Amber, you benefited from this program that actually gave people some VIP seats. Explain what that was like.
It was an amazing experience to be so close. I mean, we could literally, like, touch the players that were there. I mean, when you go into it, you don't know what sport you're going to get on the actual day you go in. And then they tell you, you're going to this, you're going to that. We ended up going to handball and hockey.
Handball.
Which to me, before the Olympics, was a foreign game. I'd never heard of it. But when we actually got in there, it was really fun. There's a lot of kids who are like, I don't know what's going on, but it looks really fun. And, like, I wonder if there's any handball teams around. So I think that whole scheme has really inspired a lot of kids and showed them new things that they haven't seen before and new sports they might want to try and pick up.
Cool. Rumi, what about you? I understand that although, you know, of course you carried the torch, you couldn't get into any of the games. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, the organization I volunteer with, we didn't get any tickets ourselves. So I just tried applying for tickets online like everyone else. I just got unlucky, I guess. But, you know, some of the school kids that I've worked with before and I've spoken to, they went with their schools. I'm so jealous, to be honest.
And how about the kids in your program? How did they feel?
I mean, they all luckily get the opportunity to try out the different sports that, you know, people aren't as familiar with, you know, like, you know, handball, lacrosse, and that's some of the sports that I coach with them. So seeing them being able to watch it on TV on a national level, it really inspires them. They're like, oh, you know, I know how to play that sport and I'm really good at it. I can do it in the Olympics. It's kind of cool, actually.
If you're just joining us, I'm Jackie Leiden, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. And we're talking about the Olympic Games and the legacy for youth in East London with two of its young, very sporty residents. Just heard Amber Charles and Rumi Begum. Rumi, over 30% of the population in your neighborhood share Bengali heritage, people from Bangladesh, including your own family, and this is Ramadan. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about the connection between Bengali people and sport?
I mean, in my community in general, it's always been something that we don't really think about, especially when it stereotypically it's not something that girls get involved with. But that's something that I myself want to change. The Olympics has really been able to sort of change views about how it's not the stereotypes you get about academic careers going into sort of finance and law and things like that. There's sport as well, and it's an amazing career to get into and get involved with.
Amber, are there any athletes in these games who've caught kids' attention because they might come from similar backgrounds?
I mean, obviously Mo Farah, the 10,000, 5,000-metre runner. He was a big inspiration to a lot of people. Also Jessica Ennis, the heptathlete. Obviously she's the poster girl and everyone loves her. And also she's from that mixed heritage background, so I think she appeals to a lot of people, like, in my area as well. You got some basketball players like Luol Deng. He grew up in Brixton. But I think Jessica Ennis is a big poster for a lot of girls trying to compete.
Rumi, let me ask you about being involved in sport as a young person in the UK. The UK is going through historic austerity, the worst since World War II. What effect is that having?
It was a massive change when losing funding. The organisation I work with, we started off being the School Sports Partnership. We were majorly government funded, and we've lost all our funding now. So we've had to cut back on so many things, and it's been obviously really hard, but if it's something that you're passionate about and something you want to keep going, then, you know, you'd find means to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Amber, were you able to play basketball in London as a younger, even younger person?
I was quite lucky in the family I was born into, I guess. And my mum's a basketball coach, and I've just grown up around basketball. It's easy if you know where to go. Before the Olympics and, like, this big push for sport, it wasn't that widely publicised, like, where sports were and where you could go and where you could play, and especially for girls. But I think now it's got a little bit better, and, I mean, they're really trying to push these sports and let kids know where they are. But like I said, my mum knew where all the sports were going on, like athletics and basketball and swimming and all of that. So I've been playing since I was really young.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the legacy of the Games are going to be for East London? Amber?
I think it makes the dreams a little bit more reachable for them because they've seen it and it's in their backyard. I mean, you can wander through Stratford and meet Olympic athletes that are just wandering around going shopping or just walking. It makes that dream seem a lot more reality to kids that are from an area that necessarily wouldn't have even dreamed of going to the Olympics before.
So you both got to carry the Olympic torch. I just have to know what that was like. Amber?
It was an amazing experience, very humbling, and I just felt really honoured, really. I mean, obviously being at the start of the Olympics when it all first kicked off in Lausanne and then now being at the end of it, I think it was just an amazing experience for me and I'll never forget it.
And Rumi, I think I saw you on TV. What was that like, carrying the torch?
It was crazy to me, and it's like having the local people and the local community just come out and treat you like a star and completely mob you just to take pictures with you, throw their babies at you and everything. It was just absolutely amazing, and I felt so honoured, so privileged to be able to even carry the torch.
Rumi Begum is a youth sports leader and Amber Charles is a youth basketball player in East London, and they were kind enough to join us from the BBC studio in London. It's been a great pleasure, ladies. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.